Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. Another week, another shooting. That's what it feels like sometimes. The latest, Tuesday in Reno, Nevada. A suicidal gunman killed one person and critically wounded two others at a medical complex. And just last Friday, at Arapahoe High School near Denver, a student who was angry over losing his spot on the debate team went looking for his teacher, shot a girl in the head, and then turned the gun on himself. Authorities say it could have been much worse, but a police officer in the building acted quickly to prevent further shooting. Closer to home, Indiana State Police are working with school corporations on what is called active shooter training. Dr. Rich Hoag, formerly of the Indiana Department of Education, is helping lead the program.
The Indiana State Police have a wealth of resources. And one of the things that they are experts and can provide expert advice in is the protecting kids in schools. And so we started the initiative of training school personnel on active shooters. And we started to do this, and, you know, our goal was very high, but this program has really taken off. And by the end of this calendar year, we will have conducted somewhere in the ballpark of 60, 65 active shooter drills in Indiana school buildings.
And all in one year?
All in 1 year, yes. It's amazing. Our goal was to get 25 to 30. We thought that would be really great. And educators in Indiana have just embraced this process so much that we are doing one or two or three a week, and schools are allowing us to come into their school buildings, and Indiana State Police, local law enforcement, county and local, are partnering, and they put together a program that's really a two-phase program. One phase is to actually hold a PowerPoint and go through what we feel best practices are, and then actually hold an active shooter drill where you have a mock shooter come into the building, go through the educators actually in their facility, and the good guys come in and take them out. So it's a real-life active shooter drill that follows the PowerPoint with that we cover all the best practices.
If you had to sum up the top points that people in education or I guess any place where folks gather, mm-hmm. right, what do they need to be thinking about?
I think the really key components and what we try to tell educators and what they understand better than anybody I know, and that is that we're trying to provide options. If you look at most of your active shooter events throughout the United States, these active shooter events last about 10 minutes. You know, if you look at Virginia Tech or Aurora or even the most recent one in Newtown, 10, 12 minutes. And so what we're trying to tell educators is we're going to provide you with some options to allow you to extend that window and allow the good guys time to get there. Now, in Indiana, response time can vary from 2 or 3 minutes to, a few minutes. And we know that educators are willing to lay down their lives for their kids, but we don't want them to. We want to provide them with some options that they can take, whether that's barricade the room, whether that's escape. We sometimes refer to it as run, hide, fight. And we want to provide them with those options to give them some actions that they can take to protect themselves, protect their kids while the good guys are on their way. And, we always kind of look at that Teddy Roosevelt comment, where he says that, in the moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. But the worst thing is to do nothing. And so we want to provide them with options to allow them to keep themselves and their kids safe while we're on our way to help them.
What have you learned from these events that have these active shooter events? Are the things that we've learned from these that you can apply?
It seems like each time that we do these, we have discussions afterwards. and teachers talk about, well, what about this or what about that? And what we found is that educators think this process through. And that's what we want them to do. We want them to start going back. We don't want to tell them how to do their school plan. We want them to take a look at their school plan after we've been through this process and evaluate it, say, well, you know, this works, that works. If we did this, that would work better. And we found that if you take a look at your school plan and each time you hold a drill or each time you go through an event like this, you tweak it a little bit, not maybe in a major way, but you do little things. Or you start planning, for instance, you know, most events never happen when you want them to, you know. If we could just say, okay, we're going to have a tornado drill at 10 o'clock in the morning, everybody will be in the classroom and everything will be fine. But we always have those doggone tornado drills. They're not very cooperative. So what they do is they happen just as the kids are getting on the bus in the evening. We found that that these active shooter events are the same way. You know, they always happen the first thing in the morning before, you know, people, for instance, Martinsville is a good example. But, you know, some of these situations happen when it's the worst possible time. The people that are perpetrating these events aren't brave people, but they've usually thought them out. And so we found that if we look at the school day and we look at what people have done in the past and we tweak our plans each time we go through a drill and we communicate those differences and those changes to everybody, we found that our plan just gets better and better and better.
You mentioned that the active shooter situations typically last 10, 12, 15 minutes, something like that. Are there other things that you've learned from studying these previous events?
When we look at different active shooter events, we found that the people that do these things tell people. We're yet to find a situation where we can say, this individual planned this event and didn't tell anybody. In almost every situation, this individual had, you know, discussed it with somebody else. He wrote an email to somebody else. He wrote a note to somebody and drew pictures and suggested that he might or she might, he might in this particular situation, want to shoot people, want to harm people and then kill himself. So we found that in every situation, if we can build up communication systems, and we're trying to build the communication lines between young people and adults. Let them know that it's okay to talk to adults about this thing. And one thing we've learned is the fact that kids talk about these things. People know. And yet again, they still happen. And that's the tragedy of the whole thing. We know ahead of time, but we just haven't been able to build that strong communication bridge and get that information to the right person that can stop it before it happens.
Dr. Rich Hogue, a former Hamilton County Schools Administrator who also worked for the Indiana Department of Education, now working on the State Police Safe Schools Active Shooter Program. Schools interested in this can just go to the Indiana State Police website, click School Safety, and then click Request a Presentation.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
School shootings are very rare, but as last week's incident at a high school near Denver shows, they are still happening. In that case, a student said to be angry about his treatment on the debate team arrived with a shotgun to settle a score with his teacher. He couldn't find that person, but did shoot a female student and may have done more had a police officer not rushed to the scene. That kind of response is what is preached in the Safe Schools Active Shooter Training Program offered by Indiana State Police. They've done about 65 active shooter drills at Indiana schools this year. Of course, there are no easy answers. As Dr. Rich Hogue, who helps lead the training, explains, in Newtown, Connecticut, the gunman shot his way into the school through a locked door.
Newtown had a really good safe schools plan. You just mentioned it a moment ago, and that is that we learn all the time. Many of these places have had pretty doggone good safe schools plans. But you can't stop somebody from shooting their way through a window or a front door that's made out of glass. However, some of the new things that we're doing and we're looking at are windows and doors that have resistant glasses. And there's a whole myriad of market that's just come to the forefront again because of these things, that you can harden the entryway, you can redesign the entryway, not to make it impregnable, but to make it harder to get in. And again, back to what we mentioned a moment ago, make that situation a little more difficult for somebody to get in immediately, and it takes time. If it takes time, then we improve our chances of keeping these kids safe.
And if you were to make a list of the kinds of recommendations that you have, make it difficult for someone to get inside, notify the occupants if there's an emergency, is that in there somewhere, some sort of alert?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it on another very critical point, and that is that we're looking at who puts out the 911 call, who do we have a buzzer system rather than having to pick the phone up and dial, as you have to dial 911, for instance. Your motor skills, your fine motor skills go out the window in these instances. We found that. We've learned that. People, you know, and when I was a principal and assistant superintendent, we had drills, actual drills, where we would call a secretary unbeknownst to them and do a bomb threat. We found that these fine motor skills go away. So we want to make everything as simple as we possibly can. So the old buzzer system that you have in banks and those kinds of things, along with a redesigned front entryway, along with a hardened window, when you put all these things together, what you do again is you expand that window of time so that the good guys can get there. So there are a whole list of things that, you know, that you can do. Again, we can get back to programmatically. We can get back to the facility itself. We can get back to the planning. But there are, if you put all these things together, then they come up with options, again, that people can exercise that will keep their kids safe, expand the amount of time, and allow the good guys to get there.
Looking at the previous cases that have happened, can you think of a technique or response by the folks on the scene that mitigated the damage the gunman was able to do?
Well, let me give you a great example. Let's go back and look at Newtown. The shooter got through the door. He killed people when he first got in. Then he started down the hallway and he went to the first two doors and the doors were locked. And he was heard to scream, "Where are the kids? Where are the kids?" He went to the third door, got in, and killed children. The first two doors that were locked, those kids are alive today. That makes sense to us, because what we're saying is one of the very simple things, and back to what you said a moment ago about a list or an action that can keep kids safe, simply a lockdown of the doors. And, you know, we'd all be surprised if we went through the school buildings in Indiana how many doors are not equipped with a very simple, immediate lockable system. Some of them are older, and some of them you can only lock from the inside or the outside. And so if you have lockable doors that can be easily and quickly secured, you've taken a huge step. When you need to lock your rooms, you can immediately lock that down. Now, that's one example. Let's take an example. Let's say hypothetically that third person happened to be, and I'm not saying in this situation they were, but this is just another component of the program. Let's say that third person was a substitute teacher, and they didn't know the lockdown practices. They were unaware of them because when they had their orientation program, somebody didn't cover how to do a lockdown. Substitutes are hard to find in buildings. I know it from experience. If you don't take the time to give them an orientation program, then they would not know how important it is to quickly secure that door. And we've learned a lot. We still don't have all the answers, but we have a lot of things that we can do that will make our kids more safe.
Some of us grew up in a time when it was inconceivable. Nothing like this ever happened. Now it seems as if there's a case every year or so. Have you talked with the experts about why this is happening?
There's absolutely no simple answer to saying why these kids decide that they're going to harm people and harm themselves. There's absolutely nobody that I know of out there that with any kind of accuracy at all would say they have any kind of ability to predict these things. you know, when you look at societal issues and you look at issues that cause these kinds of things, there just are not simple answers. What we have to do is keep studying each incident, being as prepared as we possibly can, train people, and provide the options that we feel will be their best possible chance in these situations. But as far as predicting them, I'm not aware of anything out there.
Dr. Rich Hoag, formerly with the Indiana Department of Education, helping run the Safe Schools Active Shooter Training Program, which includes a simulation with troopers acting as role players and using blank ammunition. Schools interested in the program can go to the state police website and click School Safety.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
It's hard to imagine a greater nightmare for parents, teachers, and students. The idea of a gunman, and yes, it's usually a man, threatening the unthinkable. Indiana State Police in the past year have worked with about 65 schools across the state in a new program to prepare for the worst. It's the Safe Schools Active Shooter Program, and Dr. Rich Hoag, a longtime Central Indiana educator, is helping run it.
We know that when these people plan these things, they're random issues. They're not random as far as where they go to do it, but they kill people at random. They plan these issues out. They don't necessarily have any idea on the planet that they're going to survive this incident. In almost every situation, people kill themselves. Their goal is to get recognition, typically, is to be, for some reason, strike back at a society or an institution that they feel, for some reason, will bring them that notoriety. And we don't have a way, to my knowledge, John, of predicting how these things and when these things are going to happen.
You came up through the ranks as an educator. Part of what needs to happen, I hear you saying, is that students have to have enough trust in their teachers and administrators when they pick up on the vibrations that something is happening or something's wrong with somebody. There has to be enough trust where they will go to those folks. What are we doing to build that trust? Has that changed since you were an educator in schools?
I think that's what we're getting back from administrators. I'd have to say, and the people that know me well, the best job I ever had in my life was to be a high school principal. I think building that relationship with kids and building that relationship with letting them know that you care about them, putting programs in place. Part of the program that I go over talks about building peer tutoring programs, new student orientation programs, student of the month programs, anything to open at the tip lines, social media, websites, abilities for people to anonymously report things, anything you can do to enhance and open that channel of communication between the kids and adults, any program that you can put in place, anything you can do to build that relationship is something that educators are starting to do more and more. They understand how critical that component is. I found that, you know, there was absolutely no way that a building principal could operate the building at its peak efficiency in terms of educating kids if the kids weren't on board. And I was so blessed for all those years to have great kids, great parents, and we had a school community, and we had a lot of communication. And I think that happens in more and more schools, and I think that having all these different programs, and they may not seem big, having a peer tutoring program or a simple program of orientation for new kids into your school, just little things, but you keep plugging away and keep opening that door. And as you do that, you build that relationship with those students, and it makes your building a more safe building.
If there's a theme here, would it be you don't want people to feel isolated, picked on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. That's such an important point. If you look at the characteristics of some of these young men that have created these events, if you look back over the last 7 or 8, you find that sad feeling of isolation, of being somehow in their own world and left without the ability to share concerns and issues with people and then they somehow feel like that they have been mistreated by society, and they're going to strike back.
Can you think of a time in your own time as a principal when you were able to reach somebody who might have gone astray or might have gone down the wrong path?
I used to write postcards by the hundreds, and I would try to find kids, and when they didn't really know that I was there watching or aware, doing good things. And they could be as minor as pushing the trash can back away from the middle of the hallway when some wise guy kind of slid it out there waiting for passing period to come. It could be major or minor, but, you know, trying to build that relationship and let that kid know that you really appreciated the fact that he did something that he may never have expected anybody to see. And it was so good to get the feedback all these years later when you bump into these people, you have the kids that, you know, in their minds, they kind of were stinkers. But when you remember them, you remember a lot of good things about them, and you hear them say, you know what, I really appreciated the fact that you took a few minutes, and I still have those cards on my refrigerator. Or my mom pulled them out of a drawer that was we were getting ready to throw out the junk, and we found a stack of cards that you'd written me 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah, there's nothing better than that in this life, I don't think.
Dr. Rich Hoag, a former Central Indiana science teacher and football coach who spent a dozen years as principal at Hamilton Southeastern High School. He later served as assistant superintendent there and was with the Indiana Department of Education. He now helps run the Safe Schools Active Shooter Training Program, which includes a simulation with troopers acting as role players using blank ammunition. Schools interested in the program can go to the state police website and click School Safety. It's interesting to hear about this from a former coach and teacher who spent a dozen years as a principal. As much as the schools have to look at bulletproof glass and even metal detectors in some places, listening to Rich Hoag reminds you how much it matters to know the students and to be able to spot when someone's having trouble. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
It always makes us feel good, and we know we're not where we want to be. We know we can get better, and we plan on it. But Indiana really has been leading the way in school safety for the last few years, and that does not mean that it can't happen here.